This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 175, The Island of Misfit Tangents. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister, introducing a very special episode of the ESH podcast. Yes, I'm by myself right now because, well, Panda's off doing panda things. And, well, I thought that it was about time that we did another, basically from the cutting room floor, episode. Why? Well, we've had a lot of really interesting things going on, and I'll tell you about them. But first, I have to do the business. Otherwise, this really wouldn't be an ESH podcast, now would it? So make sure that you keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use a short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any of the articles that we've written within the week. You can also check out all the other episodes of our podcast. You can even hit us up with some questions. We might even answer them on a podcast. So if you want to drop us a line, you can hit us up at questions@esh.mobi. You can also listen to some of the other great content coming out from some of our own ESH crew alum. Because we're not the only show on the block. I mean, we're pretty good people, but there are some other things that you might want to take a listen to. So if you're in the mood and you need that geek scratch itch, you can listen to our podcast that airs on Mondays, and then you can listen to the Boston Bastard Brigade, held by our very own King Baby Duck, whose new episodes go out every Tuesday. Then to get you through to the hump day, you can check out Geek Aggro, hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right there, we've got all your nerd coverage up to hump day. And then to get you through the week, well, you can check out some of the random things that we put up on Twitter and some of the other articles we put up on the website. You can follow me at twitter.com/ninjasista, and you can follow Panda at twitter.com/ladyesh. You can follow King Baby Duck at, surprise, surprise, twitter.com/king_baby_duck, and you can follow Deuces Wild at twitter.com/deuceswild. So we will keep your nerd factor going all the way through the weekend. It's pretty pimp. I'm not alone in saying this, except that I am alone right now. Now, like I said, there's a lot of things that have been going on in the land of Esh. We've had all kinds of different guest hosts. We've had a lot of friends come by that, you know, haven't visited in a while, like Xenocore and Loserly. And there's a lot of content because of time constraints. You know, we're trying to keep it streamlined there, that 60-minute, that mythical bubble thing. Or whatever, I don't know. But we're trying to streamline this sucker, you know, be professional and all that kind of crap. So, there's a lot of content that we've just kind of had to put the ixnay on, and now you get to be the benefit of that. Because we're going to give that to you as like a present, an early Christmas present. All the little mishigas and tangents that, you know, just didn't quite make that first cut, now they get a second chance. And everybody should have a second chance. So I would like to present to you the Island of Misfit Tangents. And first up, because it was basically the most recent tangent that we went on that didn't quite make it over, are some of the leftovers from our holiday gift guide. Just reminding you people that shopping days until Christmas Hana Kwanzaa, yeah, they're kind of coming up to an end here. And I don't know what you're getting me for Christmas. So just to remind you of some of the things that are on the list, like, well, Wet, which is a great game, and the God of War collection, I present to you the leftovers from the holiday gift guide. Followed up by Wet. So throw a little love to my homies up at Bethesda. What?
Once again, box.
Oh my gosh. First of all, strong female character.
Box.
So,
more like psycho character.
Ruby definitely is her own kind of chick. Okay.
Pussies.
Yeah, that does take a little while to get over. she's voiced by Elijah Dushku, who's one of my more favorite actresses. I love Dollhouse. And yep. Elijah Dushku. but I like the game mostly because it rewards you for just going stupid. Okay? You know, it doesn't try to pretend to be anything other than, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Quentin Tarantino made a game of Kill Bill? Yeah, that's what we're going to try to do. And they get really close. I mean, you know, the rage things are all like the fight with the 99. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's more emphasis put on acrobatically linking together combos as opposed to accurately killing people. So you get a higher multiplier if you slide across the floor and then rise up and slash somebody as you jump off of them to then shoot in two different directions and kill other people than if you just try to stealthily hide someplace and then jump out at them. And so I like that it tries to throw the known mechanics out and just give you kind of a rip-roaring run through of the game. There are some things that frustrate me, like the little trial areas where they try to teach you how to use your new guns and they're all timed. That pisses me off because sometimes Ruby doesn't jump where I want her to jump. But as far as style goes, strong female character, absolutely fun, looks great. Wet is definitely something that I recommend for the PS3. And you should absolutely pick it up for, you know, a gamer that you know that enjoys to blow shit up.
I like to blow shit up.
Because there's a lot of that happens in that game.
Okay.
Next up.
Make sure you get your warranties.
Yeah, totally get your warranties on that. Just be on
just in case.
Be on the safeties. iPod Touch 8GB. Now, there's a bunch of people that are going to say, oh, Apple fan, you have a Mac, blah, blah, blah. That's why you like an iPod Touch. Okay, first of all, fuck you. Second of all, here's the reason why I'm putting the iPod Touch on my list. Number one, okay, it comes in the 8GB at $199. Okay, if you're talking about buying a Renegade Edition or even just a regular edition of DJ Hero, you're plunking down $130-plus tax. Or if you're getting the Renegade Edition, you're plunking down $199, so I don't want to hear that it costs too much. But the reason why I put the iPod Touch on the list is because it does multiple functions that gamers on the go can really take advantage of. There are a lot of really good either free or cheap games that exist on the iPod App Store. Okay, Gameloft is developing completely now for the iPod store, the App Store. They're pulling back their Android development because nobody uses Android to do that. And so you've got Call of Duty games. EA Mobile is doing bang-up business over there. So, I mean, there's a Metal Gear game that you can get. There's an Assassin's Creed game that actually plays really well. Driving games, puzzle games. Again, lots of them are either free or fairly cheap at, you know, $4 to $9. A download. It has Wi-Fi built in, so if you hit a hotspot, you can Twitter, you can check your Facebook, all for free. You can check your email, again, all for free. You can use Skype on it, so you can actually make phone calls through your Skype account on it. Oh, yeah, and it also will let you carry around some movies and music. Hello? That's why it's on my list.
Haters. It's your house without a bed and a toilet.
Dude, it's a netbook without having to have 10 inches of screen.
What's wrong with
10
inches? Oh.
You can't owe your own comment.
Yes, I can.
Oh, my God.
Yes, all I right. can. And I just did.
Since I'm not female, I'm just keeping my mouth shut on comments such as that because then you guys won't let me back on the show.
Oh.
It's like, that's it. You got to go hang over with the bastards. We can't have you on the flagship show.
We're not that vindictive.
No. Oh, my gosh. We're a lot
I can't get. I'm just trying to stay on the good side. That's all. So, as you were saying.
I would say it is best to not be on the shit list.
Yeah.
Don't want to get that cool. And then finally, Kingdom Hearts 358/2 days. At least that's how I think you say it.
I think that's how you say it.
I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. They come up with some weird names for the Kingdom Hearts games, but strong gameplay throughout. And if you are a purist and you want all angles of the story, you definitely have to play it. And I think that Kingdom Hearts is one of those franchises that even if you're not a fan of action RPGs, you gotta try one of them at least once. And this is definitely one that I would recommend, especially on the DS. And finally, my last thing, Cyber Monday deals. So the best one that I found that I think is cool is that Amazon has Uncharted for like $19. So it basically works out to be $40 plus shipping. So Uncharted 2, if you're picking up a PS3 for somebody, bam, get it cheaper rather than $60. Oh, almost $20 off. Forza 3 is $20 off. If you're a driver fan at all, you absolutely need to have Forza 3. So for $39.99 plus shipping, can't go wrong there. And they also have Left 4 Dead 2 for $20 off. So you can grab that one, $39.99 plus shipping.
Nothing says the holidays like a zombie apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse!
In New Orleans.
In Nons.
Also, the God of War collection.
Yummy, yes.
If somebody missed out on God of War for the PS2, chances are you're not going to be able to find the original games now. Get the version for the PS3 that includes both 1 and 2 on the disc. Online right now, you can get it as low as $35, which is excellent.
And they upped the graphic quality.
Yes, they did. I heard that pretty much the gameplay is solid and untouched, so all they have to do is add some polish to the stuff, and it's PS3, bing! Also, I'm thinking I'm blanking on this last one. Crap. And for the person who grew up in the 80s and, you know, was pretty much a jock or cheerleader the whole time and didn't really watch any TV, you can also get them the Robotech Saga. The whole damn thing.
Just all of Robotech.
All of it.
Just all of it.
Open up your wallet and get them all of Robotech.
The main reason I say that is because some suits here and there are trying to continue the story. If anybody has been on Hulu recently, they saw a partially CG done a continuation of the story after the Invid invasion. Yeah,
it's really?
Yes. Yes, and I'll give you guys the link so you can use it in your show notes if you wish. But ever since I saw that movie, it's like, really? And they actually did a good job with it, too. They tied up all this. It was like the modern Star Trek for the old Star Trek fan is how I felt when I watched that. It was awesome.
Speaking of the holidays, we actually had some stuff that we cut out from episode 171 where Penn and I were basically bitching about how much we hate that the Christmas decorations seem to be going up earlier and earlier each year, and how this particular year we both had instances where we saw the decorations go up before Halloween. So take a listen to some of that stuff. We are hysterical.
And it's really odd to watch a Christmas movie in November.
It's odd to watch a Christmas movie and we haven't gotten past Thanksgiving.
I know.
When did this start? Like, they put Christmas trees up in Target while they were selling Halloween candy.
Well, they figured while they still had the employees that they could get it up before they're going to fire half of them.
I'm just like,
sorry, bad economic.
All right, no, I have to have this rant because this drives me nuts. We're not even out of the month of October and you're already putting up Christmas trees and Christmas cards and Christmas music in your store. What the fuck is wrong with you people? We haven't even gotten we haven't even had the Macy's Day Parade. And I'm sorry, it's not holiday season until Santa wobbles his fat ass past the front door at Macy's.
Macy's so Santa!
So take down your goddamn decorations for Christmas and put them away until Santa's here.
Are you?
Because makes me very, very angry.
Are you feeling better about that rant?
I'm feeling a little bit better. I mean, I think that it takes away from the good things that people think about at Christmas and do at Christmas when you're immediately putting up all the commercialized things before it's even close to being here.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you. I completely
And it pisses me off because I think that Christmas, whether you celebrate it as a holiday or not, is one of the times a year where generally people are nicer to each other. And I like that about it. And the earlier and earlier that that stuff goes out, the less and less I see that genuine human niceness happening. And that makes me angry.
I kicked an old person yesterday.
See? Do you see people? You don't kick old people.
I'm just kidding. I didn't kick an old person.
You probably did.
I didn't.
You probably
didn't.
Kicked him in your mind. Like, stupid old person.
Yes, I mentally kicked elderly people.
I mentally kick the elderly.
I do.
You're so wrong.
But anyway, there were a whole bunch of them actually at the IMAX, because not to mention, not only is the
because
IMAX.
Because the 3D theater, let them see theater. Everything?
No, but it's a Jordan's furniture too.
Oh! So
we're like sitting on, you know, couches and beds.
Oh my God, I haven't been there in forever.
Yeah. So they were all
Remember
a bunch
they
of them
used
were
to
there.
Have the roller coasters in there.
No, that was Mom, and that's in Natick, I think. And I've never been there, but not this Jordan's furniture.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so I mean, regardless, it was good, inspirational. Do I think the release was a little early? Yes, they could have waited until I don't know, after Turkey Day.
I am seriously.
Sit.
Just like I said before, my rant. Seriously, Christmas movie.
It was a little too early. They came out a little early.
That movie prematurely evacuated its canister.
Yes, it did. I mean, because I'm kind of worried now, because now that it's out now, I mean, what does that mean? Come Christmas, I mean, what are they going to do for Christmas this year instead of release a Christmas movie? A horror movie? Oh, wait, they already did that. And then they did a horror movie with Chris Brown. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to talk. This Christmas, come on.
I didn't
watch it.
Oh, hell no.
That's right, see?
I have what people commonly refer to as good taste.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know how they're going to, you know, what they're going to do for all those people who don't celebrate Christmas that go to the movies on Christmas. Because, I mean, I don't know what they're going to release. You know.
You all right there, you know?
Yeah, because I want to talk about a particular group of people, but
stop
that was
it.
Bad. So you guys keep doing what you're doing.
Now, you may have noticed, especially if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, that we always talk about being a gaming, gadget, and anime podcast. And well, anime doesn't escape the cutting room knife either. It's just as apt to get the old kibosh as much as any of the things that we talk about, including Bluetooth headsets that don't really work. So, we've got some anime that's been recently cut and put on the shelf, and we're dusting it off and bringing it back to your attention. So the first piece is actually going to be from, well, one episode, 173, where I talked about an anime that I was in love with that I finally finished called Kiba. And then another one, hey, wait a minute, I'm noticing a trend here. Another one is from another episode where I talked about anime, episode 159, where I talked about Maria Watches Over Us, and that got cut too. Maybe it's just my anime pieces that get cut. I don't know. Take a listen and tell me what you think. Here's anime from the cutting room floor. I have been watching a series that I actually finished, finally, called Kiba. And I think I may have mentioned it a while ago, I think like 20 podcasts ago, because that's when I started it, because it's one of those ones that I watch on Anime On Demand, so I only get a new episode every week.
Mm-hmm.
And this series had 52 episodes, 51 that actually do the story arc, and then one that's after the story.
Okay.
And I just watched episode 51.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal about Kiba. There's this guy named Zed. He has white hair and big green goldy eyeballs.
Goldy eyeballs?
Yeah, they're kind of greenish gold. They're not exactly yellow. They're not exactly green. They're not, you know.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So Zed lives in this town. He He goes to school, but he's a troublemaker. You know, he wears a big red jacket, kind of like Vash the Stampede, but it's always open.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. It only has one sleeve.
Oh. Ooh.
The other arm is just out.
Oh.
Okay. And he's got a chip on his shoulder because his mom's kind of a nut and she's in the loony bin. And kids have always been giving him crap about that. He's never known his dad. He's got this friend Noah, but his friend Noah's been sick all of his life and has this thing on his spine because he can't really stand up for a long time. And if he gets really tired,
he could die.
Yeah. And so whenever people try to pick on Noah, Zed always sticks up for him, but he's always running places and he can't figure out why. And then one night, this thing attacks him, and he's about to die, and then his mom is, like, there, and kicking this thing's ass. And he's like, Mom? And he's like, What? And you're like, Huh? What is going on here? Isn't she in a coma? And then she takes off. And he's like, I don't understand what's going on. And this bubble thing appears, and then warps Zed to this magical land.
Okay.
Noah gets warped to the magical land as well, but in different directions. And so the series is basically following these two guys on their path. And eventually they meet back up together. And they pull back apart.
Okay.
Zed lands in this area where he meets this chick named Roya. And they're attacked immediately. And Roya defends him because she has a key, she has a spirit thingy.
Okay.
So this is where we go a little bit kind of Pokemon.
Oh God, does she throw it and be like, I choose you, Bulbasaur?
No, it's better.
Use Tackle Attack.
People, shard casters, as they're called, people that can control spirits.
Pokemon
spirit,
masters, maybe.
Okay, have these things on their body that look like bracelets. And they're different places on people's bodies. So some people have it in their eyeball. Some people have it in their neck. Some people have it in their hand or in their shoulder. And that's where the spirit ball
goes.
Okay. And when they summon the spirit, it pops up in the sky and then it will fight.
Like a Pokemon.
Yeah, but these are big ones. So like I said, it's like, kind of like...
They're a giant
It's like
Pokemon
a Yu-Gi-Oh! Size monster that comes out of... The little ball thingy.
Mm-hmm.
So Roya takes Zed back to her town and introduces her to the Elder Council. And there's an old guy, a sage, named Ziku. Everybody calls him Master Ziku. He's like, Zed, there's a great power that's going to bestow itself upon you and blah, blah, blah.
In your butthole.
No.
Oh.
And you're going to be the master keeper of this thing and
in your
it's up to you to become the savior. Everybody wants to have a savior. So there are like five different lands that each have a person that's supposed to be the savior. The lore of the land is that there was this one great creature called Tusker, who is made up of the most powerful spirits that existed. They're called key spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And Tusker broke himself apart and spread these key spirits out across the land. And the pieces need to be kept apart because should Tusker get put back together, probably gonna destroy everything.
Oh. So it's not a collection anime because they're trying to keep everything separate.
Right. Okay. Oh. However, there are some bad people who are trying to.
Oh, there's always one.
All the spirits, because they believe that they are the true savior and can control the great Tusker.
Right.
Noah was brought over because there are a race of people that believe that he is the true savior. So they train him, and somehow magically he isn't as hurt anymore, and so he doesn't have to wear the brace as much, and he learns to fight and becomes a pretty good fighter.
Does he have Squirtle or...
He has Charizard.
You don't get Charizard straight away. You get Charmander.
Noah started off with Charizard. He went to the advanced technique thing because
Charizard's the last form. It goes Charmander, Charizard.
I know, but see, you didn't watch the anime. You didn't watch the series. So, like I said, because those race of people believe that Noah was the savior, they gave him their land's key spirit.
Oh.
So he didn't start out with a little rinky-dink spirit. He went straight to this crazy Charizard. Ass speed. He went straight to Charizard.
Shit. Charizard's an ass.
Okay. This guy's spirit throws these rings that blow up everything upon impact.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Okay. Well, Zed gets a key spirit. And everyone is amazed because the key spirit that he gets is one that
is troublesome and doesn't let you go in his Pokeball, like Pikachu.
Kinda.
Not
that he doesn't like to go in his Pokeball.
Uh-huh.
It's
right.
That he chooses his uh-huh. master. He cannot be captured, so he's kinda like Pikachu.
Oh.
You know
God.
How Pikachu goes along with Ash for the ride? He doesn't really
See, I'm starting to see a lot of similarities. Zed, right. 3 letters. Ash, 3 letters. Mom's kind of crazy in both scenarios.
Well, no. You don't understand how crazy Zed's mom is, but we'll get there.
Okay.
So, the Amir Gull, which is the name of this kick-ass spirit, is a spirit that always chooses its own master. Okay. The storyline is that Zeku was trying to become the savior and he failed. And so they went back and they tried like 6 or 7 times to put the Amir Gull into people. And each time he drove that person crazy.
Well, see, you can't just shove spirits into people.
You really shouldn't. It's not the suggested.
Forceful spirit enlargement is rape.
So
unwanted.
Don't put that in there. Don't put that in there.
Exactly.
So after, 6 people went crazy, died, and, killed themselves.
They figured that probably wasn't the best
Amir Gull showed Zeku who he chose. And it was a woman named Sarah in another land. In the land of chaos.
Zed's mom.
You got it. So Zeku brings...
Then why is she nuts and going crazy? Why is she crazy over there then?
I'm glad you asked that question. Because here's the problem. Zeku brings her over. Trains her. Gives her the Amir Gull when she finally reaches the end of her training, which is really hard. She goes into a fight. She wins. But then Amir Gull takes off. And she's like, no, Amir Gull! I need the rapture! And she pretty much
the
is
rapture.
Driven... The rapture? Yeah, she's driven crazy like everyone else. Because... Amir Gull was not showing Zeku that Sarah was his true master, but yet the baby that she was carrying. So after Amir Gull left, Zeku, without explaining any of that, just threw Sarah back in the land of chaos. And so because she had no power to get back to the land of calm on her own, she went nuts.
Oh, well, that's just fuck-a-doodle-doo.
And pretty much developed a deep hatred of Zed because she knew that Zed would one day be able to wield the power that she couldn't. So she finally eventually warned a way back to the land of calm and then tried to kill Zed to get the Amir Gull.
Oh, wow. And I thought I had mom issues.
But then she died and while she was dying, realized that the reason why she was living was for Zed, so she left a message for him that she was really sorry and she really loved him, was very proud of him. But still, she spent like 6 episodes trying to kill him.
Dear son, I'm sorry I've been trying to murder you. I have seen the error of my ways. Here are some cookies, Mom.
Here's the interesting thing about the entire series, and it is 51 episodes long, is that it is an interesting weaving of stories. You have about 5 major characters that come in because there are 5 major wielders of key spirits. And you see some characters kind of get arced toward the dark side and find their path either back to the path of light or not at all.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed it. I really did. I was satisfied with the ending. I won't give it away. It made a lot of sense. But there are some things about it that I just really didn't like. Like, Zoe was like, I'm a fighter, and I only know my wealth when I'm fighting. So fight me, but don't fight me. And they spent a lot of time in the episodes yelling after each other. You know, kind of like Inuyasha, where, Roya's like, Zed, are you all right, Zed? Zed, is everything okay? Zed, where are you going? Roya, I don't know where I'm going. Where are you going? I don't know, Zed. Where are we going? We need Master Zeku. Master Zeku! Master Zeku! And I'm just like, really?
Oh, God, I just want to take a pistol to my head right now.
Mate, come on, guys. I know who you are. I know where you're going. You don't have to
see,
tell me.
See, they could have summed it up easy. Hey, bitch, where are you going? I don't know. Let's go see the old guy.
I know. I love
see
Inuyasha.
See how easy that was?
I love Inuyasha. Dub, not sub. Yeah. So anyway, I mean sub, not dub. You know what I meant.
I'll pretend that I did.
Yeah, because Inuyasha doesn't say Kagome all the time. He just calls her a bitch.
I know,
all the time.
Bitch. Yes,
I love that. They could have told.
Like, I'm coming, bitch. It's like if you hadn't broke that damn crystal, we wouldn't be in this predicament right now. Yeah, well, I didn't know. I would have loved to have seen that all ghettoized. They should do it in Inuyasha Abridged and it should all be ghetto. Like, damn.
Bitch, why are you tripping? I'm tripping because you look like my ex. like a lot. Oh, like, wait, you're her reincarnated.
Holy shit. I knew that bitch would haunt me the day that I met her.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, Kiba, K-I-B-A. It's interesting. I wouldn't say that's necessarily worth a purchase, but if you have the Anime Network or you can get a hold of it or it just happens to be streaming on the interwebs, it's definitely worth a peek.
Or it just descends from the heavens onto your porch.
Achoo. All right, so the last little bit, because we are Tech Gadgets, Video Game, and Anime, I've got some anime to put on the table.
I'm glad you do, because I don't.
Yeah, well, you know, every so often I actually do kind of luck into things by myself, mostly because of the internet. Because
or the booze. Because she walks into walls, too.
Oh, my God. I walked into a wall one time, and that wall totally jumped out in front of me, okay? But let's move on. Because it had it out for me. It did not like me. All right, anyway. Mostly because I nailed it.
Oh!
Yeah, I went there.
That was a great one. Anyway.
I are smart. No, but I've been watching a bunch of little animes, trying to finish up on a couple, most from the Anime Network on Demand, which I have, and then a few that were given to me by friends through various means that wanted to relay them to me, which is, you know, nice. I appreciate that. But one of the ones that I've been watching a lot that's kind of been a guilty pleasure for me is one called Maria Watches Over Us. And the setting in the anime is that it takes place at this all-girls private religious school. And while
it already sounds naughty.
And while they don't say that it's Catholic, the whole title is Maria Watches Over Us. And there are different gatherings that they have in front of Mother Maria and pray to Mother Maria, and some girls go off to the convent to become nuns. So you're just like, yeah, we're Catholic.
Are there a lot of statues of Jesus?
There's no statues of Jesus, only of Mother Maria. Okay? Oh. So it starts off with the idea of the Petite Soeur, which is basically the little sister. And so the upperclassmen girls always pick a lower classman girl to basically take under their wings and kind of help shepherd.
So yeah, okay.
I get, you know, about two episodes in, I'm like, okay. So we got pretty much juniors and seniors in high school at this all girls private Catholic school. And they all take a young girl under their wing. And
do they all choose one girl so they're all with one? They each get a girl.
They each get a little sister.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. And so I'm watching this and I'm going, okay, so the upperclassmen girls pick a lowerclassmen girl. And all of these lowerclassmen girls are your typical, you know, high school anime females in which they look like they're 7, but they're supposed to be, like, at minimum 14.
Their eyes are, like, 70% of their face.
Exactly, and they all have pigtails, and they're all ridiculously excited. And all of them are all infatuated with the older sisters because they're like, oh, that's what a girl is supposed to be, and she's so sophisticated. And I want to give her chocolates and make stuff for her, and she's awesome. And I'm like, Oh, we're about to be some lesbians up in this piece, aren't we?
Yeah,
this is straight up Yuri.
This is borderline Yuri right here.
Yeah. So I get two episodes in, and I'm like, okay, all right, we're still good because there's no sexy sex going on here.
There was no punani nani.
Right.
Punani
because nani. Typically with the things that are Yuri, if they're going to be all punani nani, that happens by the second or third episode.
No, that happens 10 minutes in because you see a flash of
blue. The ones that try to hide it.
No,
well, the ones
no.
that try to hide it go two episodes before they're like,
high-class hentais or high-class Yuris, they have to let you know that that's where they're going to go.
Yeah.
So in the first 10 minutes, if you see some boob or you see up in the crotch, you already know where you're at.
Here's the thing. There have been a couple of panty shots, I'm not going to lie. But there hasn't been, like, any sex. But what's really interesting about this series is that you really don't get it until about the fourth episode that some of the girls definitely live the alternate lifestyle.
So is this like cougar-like, the old preying on the young innocent, oh, I've never had anyone touch me in that
place? No. And that's the thing. Like, I expected it after the first two episodes with the whole setting of it switching and going all Bible Black on me any second now. And it was going to be like, oh, we're going to turn the corner and, yep, she's going to be fisting this poor little kid. But it never goes there.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's actually...
Because who wants Jesus in their punani? I mean...
Wait, hold on. Time out. Look, we go all kinds of places there. That's another podcast. Because weirdness. I don't even want to... I don't know how to have that conversation. I feel like I should go to confession first before we have that conversation.
All right, then.
But where the story goes is that there is this one upperclassman chick who has really long, dark hair. Her name is Sachiko. Everyone in the school reveres her because she comes from, you know, a really rich and fine family. She's ridiculously brilliant. She's reserved and kind of the epitome of what every little girl that wants to grow up and be a lady wants to grow up and be like.
So I think I want to be like her now.
So everyone in the school is just like, Sachiko, oh my God, you can't even talk to her. You can barely look at her because she's so awesome. And oh my God. And so there's a new transfer to the school named Yumi, who comes in as a first year student and has the same experience of falling in love with her and stuff like that. And really admiring how she is and her presence. I mean, like, all of the scenes where Sachiko is in the school, like, everyone else kind of walks. She seems to kind of float across when she walks.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she's very graceful is what they want to get across, you know. She is very much a
it's
young
called
lady.
Invisible wire.
There's wire they use work it in my movies. Anime. But the story is basically these two get paired inexplicitly. Basically what happens is everyone that's in this Rose Council.
Oh God, now it sounds like Utena.
Yeah, kinda. So all of these upperclassmen who are in this Rose Council have to have a little sister because that'll be the person that'll be taking over their position when they graduate the school. So their job is to help prepare this person to be an upstanding young lady.
That so does like other chicks.
No, that's the thing. Not like I said, not everybody does the other chicks.
Yeah, but how many people in this Rose Council?
Two.
Dip their mouth into.
Out of
okay.
Eight. So two out know, of, all right, we're dealing all with right. a minority here, and that's uh-huh. only now that's only two confirmed. And I'm only 12 more. Episodes in, but there are a couple others where I'm like, murmur. Okay. I think you might like it a taco, and not the Wiener Schnitzel. But we'll get back to that. So okay. The bulk of the series is all about how to deal with relationships, whether they are...
With women or with little girls.
Well, more so whether or not they are romantic or just best friends or just with people in general. So it's more an exploration of different people's pasts.
Women.
And all jokes aside, yeah, they're basically a couple of girls who have some bad things that have happened to them in their past, and so they're emotionally cut off, and some that just don't know how to relate to other people. Like, as you go through the series, you find out that Sachiko's thing isn't that she feels like she's above anybody else or that she's a snob, but she's felt so segregated all of her life because she lived all at home and had a very rich family that she doesn't know how to relate to people on other levels. Like, they don't watch TV in her household, so she didn't know how to have lunch with people because they would talk about their favorite TV show episodes that they watched at home and she couldn't participate in the conversation. So she became kind of a clamshell on herself.
Oh, damn rich people with their non-TVs.
Right, but it's more of a social exploration.
Is there like a VC Andrews aspect to it?
Oh my God.
Well, not exactly. But there are a lot of relationship exposition, like I said, and there are a couple of characters that do, in fact, have romantic connections to other women. Like, as you go through the season, you get to a point where some of the older sisters, big sisters, start talking about their experience when they were little sisters.
Oh, and I bet those were fun times.
And so there's one chick, Rosa Gigantia, who obviously does like the taco.
Gigantia.
Gigantia, yep. The big rose. Mm-hmm, yep. Oh. I didn't say that it was necessarily the deepest anime on the planet here, ladies. But she basically fell in love with this one girl, and they do finally have, like, a moment where they're totally making out in front of Mary. They're just...
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a statue of Mary, and they're making out in front of the statue, finally.
Naked?
No, they've got on their schoolgirl uniforms, because, you know, that makes it hotter.
Yeah, because then they have to take it off later.
You know, and as with most of these ones, Rosa Gigantia looks kind of more boyish.
Short hair?
Mid-length hair. Okay. There's another character, I can't remember her name right now, but she looks like, Yuki, from,
Jupiter.
No.
She looks like...
I'm having a total brain fart right now. The Gravitation anime. And the guy that...
Yuri?
Yeah, thank you, Yuri.
Ariyuki?
Yeah, Ariyuki.
The guy who looks like an angel when he's sleeping?
Yes. Okay. She looks like him. His height, his build, everything. But she's totally not
a tomboy. Does she kind of look like Sailor Uranus, but more boy-y?
Yeah. No, she looks like Sailor Uranus without the headband.
Uranus.
Yeah, I said it. I said it just like that. Without the headband... But is totally, like, into the real femmy stuff. She likes to crochet and to bake cookies and cake.
I like to crochet and bake cookies.
But all on the down low. Like, at school, she tries to, like, pretend that she's all boyish-like, and so she's on the kendo team.
Oh my God, she's like Lita from Sailor Moon.
So, it's like they've cobbled together all of the different stereotypes for Yuri that exist. They've thrown them all together in these composite characters. And then have taken all of, like, the overt sexual stuff out. Like, it's not like Koi Koi 7 where you're just like, okay, so everybody's a robot. But when they go to the school, all of the girls in the school are fucking each other. And there's only one boy that goes to the school.
Is he a real boy?
He's kind... Well, I don't know that yet, but all the girls that he's living with are all robots.
And they want to do him?
Yeah.
Oh, some man made that anime for sure.
Yep, and more times than not, they bathe with him, and one of them broke, so they...
But they're robots!
Yeah, Koi Koi 7 doesn't really make much sense. It's just kind of like... And then
last time I checked, electronics, water means no worky.
Right. Now, some of them can go into the water and, like, bathe with them, and of course, every time he sees one of them naked, blood shoots out of his nose, and he passes out. But then there are, like, these rivals on the other side of the school who keep building mecha to battle the Koi Koi 7, even though there's only six of them. Yeah, it's not like that.
Is he the seventh one?
No, because they're all supposed to be girls.
So then there's a seventh one roaming around somewhere.
Yeah, someplace. Koi Koi 7, I'll talk about another time. But what's really interesting is that they bring all of these archetypes together in Maria Watches Over Us, and the latter episodes are really just about getting through building and kind of navigating relationships. And so it's really become a guilty pleasure for me. I've been watching it in the subbed version. And it's...
Thank God.
You know, I've gotten to just about the last episode. So here's the spoiler alert, guys. You might want to fast
forward for a second. Spoilers!
But it's basically... Yumi's kind of come out of her shell a little bit. And instead of internalizing everything and trying to make the world perfect for Sachiko, her older sister, she's actually starting to let her know a little bit about her and her life and...
There was basically
that's a totally different anime. I'll talk about that next week. but basically they had this like scavenger hunt thing
for to vaginas? Win dates.
No, because that really wouldn't be much of a hunt. Be like, ah, so I see you.
I found it.
I win. Oh, you didn't hide that very well. It's right there under your skirt.
Oh, surprise.
not a penis. Anyway, they have this scavenger hunt to find these cards that the older sisters from the Rose Council hide on campus. And whoever finds them wins a date with them. And so there are these four different dates, and various people win them. Yumi doesn't find Sachiko's card because this other bitch goes and finds it, but then feels bad because Yumi actually really figured out where Sachiko would have put the card, and she was so sure that she wouldn't because nobody knows Sachiko like she does, which is total bullshit. So anyway, they end up going on dates, and people are trying to find pictures of these girls out with these younger girls so they can report about it in the newspaper.
Because it's dirty and it's wrong.
Right, but they can't find them. And Yumi has a date with Sachiko, and all they do is they go out shopping. And Yumi's trying desperately to show Sachiko a good time. Sachiko ends up buying a pair of jeans because she sees that Yumi's wearing a pair, and she's never had a pair of jeans before. And
oh my god, a girl who's never worn pants.
Right. And then she goes and she buys a pair of sneakers because she's never had a pair of sneakers. And they go out for a burger, and Sachiko gets all excited because she's been practicing on how to order a burger at a fast food restaurant.
Because they have to learn how to do that?
You know, and it's just so cute. And I really like it.
Oh, wait, I'm totally picturing this now. Like, she gets all blushy, like, I'd like a... And her hands get all scrunched up, like, a cheeseburger, please.
Well, she gets there and she orders very persistently. And she's like, I would like this burger and that burger and these fries. And then she walks away. She doesn't, like, pay or stand there to wait for a tray. And Yumi goes, I'm sorry, but basically the way that it really works is you have to stand there because nobody's going to bring the food to you because this, you serve yourself. And she's trying to explain this. She's like, I'm so
like,
sorry.
Like, in reality, we don't have people feeding us with silver utensils.
Yeah, and I think that it's really cute that instead of being a series where I was watching the first two episodes and I really expected it to go off into, you know, tongue in La La Land.
Oh, that tongue in somewhere land.
That it completely switched and it really just became about navigating these relationships. And so it basically became like a dating sim.
Without the sex?
Without the sex. And I've been talking about that for a while, that I was looking for a series that could give me that without the sex, because I'd probably enjoy it, and it turns out I was right, because I really do enjoy Maria Watches Over Us. Like I said, yep. I'm 13 episodes in. If you want an anime that has a lot of girls in it, but has some meaning to it, and obviously some, like, you know, stupid fun stuff, like one time she tries to make chocolates... And tries to figure out what would be the type of chocolates that Sachiko would eat and has all these, like, little daydreams. And then totally figures out that maybe she doesn't like chocolate, so dear God from Christ, now what do I do? And has a panic attack. And then there's another sister that totally hits on her all the time because that one does like the taco. And constantly says that she's going to, you know, steal Yumi away from Sachiko and tries to kiss her, and Sachiko gets all pissed off. So I think that as the arc continues, we probably will get to a point where they probably do kiss. But I don't think that it's going to be like... Murr, 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 murr.
Which set of lips? Wah, wah, wah. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I don't think that we're getting there, but we're getting close.
They might. It might happen.
So definitely check it out. I would recommend the subbed version, not the dubbed version, just because I think that their voice work is so subtle that it would... I don't think that it would do well or translate well into a dubbed version.
Nope, which I and they'd get coming. Very whiny, bitchy female American voice actresses and, that would do no yeah. credit to the original.
And even for those people that, like, have some really hard things going on in their life, like parents dying and things like that, and trying to deal with that, and that being their reason for going to the private school, they're never whiny about it, which I enjoy, because I hate whiny characters in anime. So, Maria watches over us. I think anybody who likes anything close to relationship.
No, this is not for men.
Yes, this These is if women you're looking
do not have
for,
sex enough for you to enjoy this.
Exactly. If you're looking for girl-on-girl action, like sporadically sprinkled throughout just chaos, you'll want to check out Koi Koi 7, or I just started actually watching Revolutionary Girl Utena because it showed up.
There's not a lot of... There is no vag in Utena.
No, there's not, but the whole pulling the sword out of her chest, I mean, that's pretty much
that's
as close
just
to a girl
symbol.
Fisting another girl as possible that you can get away with without actually
Utena,
having her do
Utena,
it.
Utena had no vag. Utena is very strong female connections... and cross gender issues
and then in the movie turns into a car at the end of it.
I know.
Like I've seen the movie. I still don't understand how you vanquish and bring about the revolution and turn into a car.
When you have that strong of a connection with Anthe, you sprout four wheels and you get a V8 engine. And you get washed as you're breaking through the gate.
I had deep connections
revolution.
With people, but I've never turned into a Trans Am.
I didn't understand the car part either.
It actually
doesn't make any sense if you watch the whole series, which I owed. There's really you see a car, but there's no strong connection because Utena doesn't have a car on campus. Only Akio.
Maybe Derek wrote the ending.
You know what?
Would
I would not be surprised.
That would actually make sense.
But I mean. All right, I'll let you go on the whole Utena thing, because I happen to love Utena as a series.
Hey, yeah, look, I love oddball series, okay? I do.
But like, this is off. Catholic schoolgirls with no naughty sex in it?
No naughty sex in it. Like I said, I'm only 13 episodes in, so if there's another arc, who knows, maybe in the next arc, it's the naughty arc.
No, maybe but, that'll be the last episode. They'll all just start doing each other when they graduate.
But, I mean, it's really, really... Weird.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, it is. I mean, like, the one blatant lesbian chick is mostly sad and stays away from relationships because she was in love with this one girl and she got sent away. And so she tried to commit suicide.
Ow.
And she failed.
Okay, let's not end the show on such a sad note.
But now she has a new sister that's kind of reserved and realizes that she's kind of in love with her. And you're just like, aw, you're gonna find some love. And then
Between my legs.
And then in the back of your mind you go... With this other girl. That's so cute, you little anime people. Go ahead with your bad self. Get you some nook-nook. Go ahead. I'm all right with it. Go ahead. No,
apparently
seriously,
Maria,
do it.
Maria doesn't have a problem watching over all that. So
Maria evidently doesn't have a problem watching over any of it. She's just chilling out in the garden. Like, there's roses everywhere, and you're just like, mm-hmm, yep.
Uh-huh,
that's
right.
That's supposed to be a vagina, and that's a vagina, yep.
Mm-hmm. Up that one just butted up. That's a vagina.
Yep,
too.
Girls are meeting in the garden. Yep, wonder what's going on in the garden. Who's tending the garden? Oh boy,
I'll tell you.
Like there's so much just overwhelming. Like these girls are gonna do it,
and then they don't.
And then they don't.
Oh, it's a cock tease.
It totally is.
It's a cunt tease.
It is.
Yes, a cunt tease.
Like desperately, and just like wow. Like I got to the fourth episode, totally expecting Rosa Gigantia to like molest Yumi. Like, I was prepared for it. Didn't happen. Bitch,
were there any
cookies.
Inappropriate boob touches?
No!
Like, oops, boob.
No! Not
I didn't know you had those.
Like, the closest that you got, it really wasn't inappropriate. She was crying, one girl was sitting down, so she fell, and she just happened to, like, rest
she
her hand on her boob. She's like, I missed you so much today. And I'm like, your hand's still on her tit. I know you didn't think I noticed that, but you gotta get a
fistful
or anything.
Sometimes the skills that kill.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And so her older sister, Rosa Gigantia, again, is sitting in the chair, and she puts her hand on her back, she goes, but I'm here now. And that's how the episode ends. Like, you're just like, and you're not gonna do her? Really? No?
No, she probably did her during the credit.
Well, I didn't get to see that.
Anyway.
So I give Maria watches over us, an 8 out of 10. I actually really enjoyed the relationship stuff, and I kind of like the tease. Like, the a lot. Tease. Yeah, now, I think I'll be a little disheartened if, at the end of this, I get 2 more episodes in, and all of a sudden there's an orgy out of no place. I'll be like, hey. Oh, man, lame sauce.
If there's a pentagram on the ground, then you've switched to Bible Black.
Yeah, and I'm going to change the channel really quickly, because I saw some of the Bible Black, and I was like, oh.
I have some DVDs. I find it interesting.
Bible Black is some fucked up shit.
It is.
See, I told you it was going to be a good episode. Filled with all kinds of great stuff that we just had to take out because we ran out of time. But make sure you don't run out of time by visiting us on our website. So that way you can keep up to date with all the stuff that's going on in the gaming world, the gadget world, the anime world, the really weird kind of land-ish, because we're kind of wackadoodle there. So make sure that you hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. That short address will bounce you to the longer one, and you can check out any of the articles that we've written in the week. You can catch up with all of us as far as what we're doing and up to and thinking. And well, you can subscribe to our RSS feed. You can check out our podcast. You can even subscribe to it in iTunes if you want to. You can also check out some of the great shows that our ESH crew alum put out, like the Boston Bash Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck, or Geek Aggro, which is hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. We've got enough shows to keep you going almost all week long. And if we can't keep you going, well, you know, there are some other places you can go to find some entertainment, too. You can check out some of the great shows that are on the All Games Radio Network, like us. We're over there. You can catch our show at 5:30 Pacific Time, which works out to be 8:30 Eastern Time on Wednesdays. And you can also tune in to some of the other shows that are over there, although I do have to pour a little out for my homies at DPL, which, well, it shuttered up last week, and I dropped a tear or two. I'm not going to lie. Might have been because of the flu, but I'm pretty sure it's because they're going away. So make sure that you caught the last episode, as well as some of the other really fun shows over there, like Orange Lounge Radio and In-Game Chat and the PN Spotlight and Bobby Blackwolf, absolutely. And if you bounce into chat and you're listening to stuff, make sure that you let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you, because we did. You can also follow some of the random things that we're thinking and saying on Twitter. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasister. You can follow Pandalicious at twitter.com/ladyesh. And you can follow King Baby Duck at twitter.com/king_baby_duck. And Deuces Wild at twitter.com/deuceswild. If that doesn't do it for you, let us don't know what will. I'm pretty much giving you all the geeky stuff that you need to survive. So make sure that you check it out. I guess I'm going to have to call this podcast toast. But what to do with my toast? I think I'll be festive. I think I'll do kind of like a cranberry toast with maybe some red and green sugar sprinkles on it. Maybe a little bit of cinnamon too. That sounds yummy. Ho, 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 bitches! I'm out. Panda?
Yes?
Are you texting somebody?
No. All of a sudden, my mic cut out, so I unplugged my headset and reset it.
What the hell?
I keep having to unplug it. I'm sorry.
You want to go into your sound preferences and make sure you got the right things looking at the right place?
I swear I did.
How am I still the party mix?
I can't believe this.
That's so going on the clip show for next week.
Fuck. Are you kidding me right now?
And now it's echoing.
Yeah, because we're coming.
There we go. Okay. I got it.
Okay, now, will you do me a favor and check both your system preferences and your Skype preferences and make sure everything's looking in the right place?
Fine.
I'd really appreciate that.
I'm going.
Okay, thank you.
Electric Sisterhood. Set it.
Oh. All right. That's set and... Yes.
Okay.
Both things are set to my headset now.
Fantastic.
So I didn't know I was going to do that.
But that makes me happy.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Trust me, out of all the audio issues that we've had over the years, that's the easiest one we've ever fixed.
Yeah, that's true.